All right, we'll be going back today, continuing our thoughts on the ministry that God has given to us, It is given to us. It's not anything that we have deserved or even looked for, but yet God has blessed us with this ministry that we have to this foreign nation called the Philippines. And we begin again with Matthew 28, those words that we have come to know as the Great Commission. And what is it? Verse 19 of the 28th chapter of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then he ends it with amen. We have talked about the journey. God first prepares. He prepares the heart. He prepares the mind. He prepares even the body, really. And I think, again, I experienced that especially on that first trip that I made to the islands when, lo and behold, I was so tired and worn out and mentally, physically, the whole works. And yet, when I went to the Lord in prayer, it seemed like it was like Job talks about in the 33rd chapter of the book of Job. The flesh became as a little child's, he said, and there was a renewing of strength there. But the journey, we've all been involved in that journey, and we're still involved in that journey. And I know, again, I've talked about the way that God has led me and has led my wife along with me and the family to a degree. And it's been such an interesting journey. Looking back, though, I can see how God has led, how he has directed everything. And it proves out again that all things do work together for good, right? To them that love God, that are the called according to what? His purpose. God has a purpose. He has an overall purpose for his church and for this world, right? That he did not create this world in vain, but he created it, he said, to be inhabited. But his purpose is that ultimately he is going to show his great power in the ungodly, according to Romans chapter 9, right? He's going to show his great power in the ungodly like he did in Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the example that set. But he's also going to show the fullness of his mercy in those vessels that were afore prepared unto that glory of that mercy. But he has a purpose for each individual. Every individual. God has a purpose. Every one of us are given gifts, right? According to the grace of God. And again, the purpose of God. And, you know, Bruce, strange how you came through all this, isn't it?
Yes. It is. As a matter of fact, it was even yesterday that I've not shared this with them. And I just got to thinking about it. It was about the time of Roe versus Wade. And I remember a guy on the boat. He was thinking about that, and he made this statement. He took it lightly. You know, abortion was not legal. And he was saying, I forget how he started it, but he was saying, no fetus can be this. And it didn't really strike me at the time. But it was that day or the day after is when God began the work.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to think that such an act was created and here God's hand.
Yeah.
And I was totally unprepared for all of it.
And oblivious as to what was going on, really.
Well, and now I understand the significance of it.
Yeah, right.
It's been a wonderful journey.
It has been.
It's
not over. It's continued to go. And again, I know JT and myself, I know our lives because we've been close all of our lives. all these years we've been close to one another. And I've seen him and he's seen me. And we know how we have come all through this stuff. And even when we thought we had it understood, yet God has opened up more and more and more, and the we understand more now and more wonderfully now than we did before, and it just keeps on going. I know Joel's journey. And I remember that going to St. Louis and coming on the way back, and how that God dealt with Joel during that time, and it just keeps on going like that. And we have the testimony of like Sister Joyce and the Sanfords. I love to hear these things. I love to hear people testify of the way that God has worked in them. I remember at Grace Baptist Church years ago, they'd have testimonials, but most of those testimonials had to do with how wonderfully God had blessed them with all these material things. And that may be all right in its place, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how God has led us to a greater understanding of His mercy and of His grace and of His purpose in Christ. It is to perfect a people, to bring out a people out of this world, out of the darkness, into His marvelous light, and to bind hearts and minds and souls together, and actually to journey then together. I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again, that we're all just a bunch of misfits, so to speak, and we're odd as far as the world is concerned. We're a peculiar people, right? A peculiar people, and most people think that we are peculiar. Sure enough, in their mind, that word peculiar is probably has an altogether different connotation than what we usually think of it. But God has set us apart, and He has given us a ministry. And yes, we have a ministry at home, and I'm thankful for it. very thankful for it. I love this church, as small as we are, and as insignificant as we may seem to be to the world, yet I love this church, and I'm so thankful that I've spent quite a few years now with this body, with you people, and you spent quite a few years with me, and we've been on this journey together, and God opened this door, JT. And that's the wonderful thing about it, too, is that God opened the door. There wasn't any committee, was there? There wasn't any committee to say, well, now I think we ought to go over to the Philippines and see what's going on over there and see if we can help those people. It wasn't like that at all. None of us expected this. None of us. And yet here we are, and it's been all going on 23 years now. Can you imagine that? But here we are. And I've marveled, and I think I said this before, maybe during this series, but I'll say it again now. I remember so distinctly, I think it was maybe the third trip that I went over there, and I had some of those men to meet me in Manila, and we talked about, you know, what was happening and what we were doing. And I told them then that I thought maybe about 5 years before we would start to kind of wind that down. And lo and behold, it's been almost five times that. But it's all been God. And it's all been God moving our hearts toward those people in the Philippines. And again, it has been some wonderful things, and we'll talk about some of those things. Have there been some disappointments? Yeah, there have been. There have been disappointments. But isn't it always that way? I've defended us from time to time against people that say, well, you know, not everything's going right, goes right in these things. Well, it's right. That's right. No, it doesn't all go right. There have been those people that took advantage of our benevolence, our love toward them. There have been those people. However, again, my defense against that is simply that, you know, they took advantage of Christ too, didn't they?
Right.
He fed the thousands, right? But when it came down to worshiping him, well, it's a hard saying. And they went away, right? So much so that he asked even the disciples that were with him daily, will you also go away? And thankfully, the answer was what? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It's still the same, isn't it? Satan is always present where God is working. Never fails. He's always there. But greater is He. Right? Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. And so it's been a journey like this, and God has been preparing us all this time, but sometimes it seemed like it's a strange way to do. Again, as we said, let me back up. Again, why did God come bring us through the Lutheran Church and then through an Arminian Baptist Church and so forth? How is it that God has brought us through so many different phases, and yet here we are, unfailing. Unfailing. I think about that old song, the old ship of Zion still sailing, old ship of Zion unfailing. and that's the way it is. But as strange as it may have seemed, yet now we have come to a stable, right? We've come to a place where we have, and that's what the Apostle Peter said. After ye have suffered a while, what? The Lord establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so here we are. I believe that we are as settled as any place that I know of. We know what we believe, and we have a basis for that belief. And it wasn't, though, until that was established with us that we could minister to other people. Again, I believe with all my heart that God would not call me to the ministry in the Lutheran Church because it wasn't established in the truth. And it took a while, even in the Baptist Church, to be established in the truth. But it wasn't because the Word was not there. It was while I was studying the Bible that I began to really understand the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was there that I began to understand the beauty and the necessity of the sovereignty of God in His salvation. And God established me, and He established you, right? You didn't start out understanding all of this, but God established us together in this, and now here we are. The journey has come to the place to where now we're enjoying the fruits of the faith. You know, it's great when you take in a journey and you reach your destination, isn't it? Yeah, it's interesting on the way. we go over to Conyers, Georgia, and it's interesting to go along and you see different things and all, experience different things. But your destination, you have a purpose, right? For going to a certain place at a certain time. And it's that destination that's the fruits of your labors. And so we come to this destination, and again, God has sustained us in it even unto this day. So what are the results? Well, again, God opened the door, and we just, He led us through that door, and it all started off, again, with this three-day Bible conference in Davao City. I'm not going to go over again how I got there. It was not easy. And it was, I believe it was a test of my own faith in God. But from that time on, God has blessed with His providential care, His providential workings. God has led this thing all the way from the very first letter that I received from these people until this very day. But that was the beginning of it. It's when they asked me to come over. Three of those preachers asked me to come over and hold a three-day Bible conference. And so God opened the door and He brought this to being. And so we did. We had that three-day Bible conference there in Davao City. There were 10 preachers that were in that meeting or attended those meetings and besides those meetings, preached in other places. I preached in the EMAR Learning Center, which is a private school. I preached to those children there, and of course all those teachers that were there. We preached there, and we visited some other places and some other people in the area there. And then we went out to Asuncion, and that's where Brother Albert Montero was and is in that same area, not in the same place, but in that same area, and his dad was also a preacher there. His dad is dead, has been now for a few years. But, of course, Brother Albert's still going. And, of course, we have built him a church, or given him at least the means to build a little church building there, along with giving him the property, and giving him a little house in which to live that's his. And we've done a lot of that. How much have been able to do? How much has God blessed us with all of this thing? I don't have a number. Never have intended to keep numbers or to accumulate numbers. We don't know. All we know is how people have received the message that we've brought to them. Again, eternity, right? Eternity will finally decide or declare what has been accomplished overall, but we just know that many people, I could say, you know, thousands of people. And we don't really know, because the ministry really has been to the churches, to the preachers, and from there they have carried the message. Who knows how far these things have gone? For instance, we preached at a church there in Davao City, and there were men that came from some of the most southernest islands in the Philippine archipelago. And how they found out about those me, I have no idea. I have no earthly idea. But they came and they listened and they appreciated what they were hearing there. And incidents like that have happened all through the years. But we held this conference there, and 10 of these men preachers were there, and 3 of them came from the island of Bohol or Dalis. It was a sacrifice for those men to come from Bohol to Mindanao, especially to Davao City. It was a pretty good journey for them. And as far as they were concerned, it was pretty expensive. Brother DeBatos, Brother Marlon DeBatos, his daughter that we know today, she's a token, if you will, of the grace of God. And her mother, Sister Aurelia, how her faith shone through all of this, and even especially after Brother Marlon's death, it's just marvelous that how these things have worked. But Brother DeBatos was one of these 3 men that came from the island of Bohol. And when the conference there in Davao was over, they wanted me to come back and come to their island. Again, there was no asking. In fact, once again, I thought to be one trip over there and that would do it. I really did. I thought, well, that'll be it. That'll be over. But it wasn't. That was just the beginning of it. And these 3 men asked me to come then. And so this was in March of 1999. And then in May, I went back over there. And lo and behold, there were preachers that came from many of the islands. There was 54 preachers in that second 3-day conference. Now, again, they weren't all very receptive of the doctrines that they were hearing. Some of them left before that conference was over, but by and large, the most of them stayed and rejoiced in what they were hearing. And then, after that conference, and here's one of the, again, one of those strange things. While we were on that island there at Dalles, there's a cave there. It really is just a big old open space under the earth. But there's water, the sea water comes up in there. And anyhow, that it's an attraction to them. It's one of their attractions. And they just insisted that I go and see that cave. Well, you know, actually it didn't really interest me much at all. I mean, I've seen Carlsbad Caverns, and I've seen the Mammoth Caverns, and I've seen the caverns out at San Antonio. What do they call them? I forgot what they call them. Huh? Oh yeah, Natural Bridge Caverns. I've seen all of these, and they're multitudes of times more interesting than this big old hole that we went down into. But the thing about it is that that was another opportunity to preach. Again, I didn't plan on that, but we were down in that hole, where they're in that cave, and they just came to me and said, "We want you to preach to us." And so God gives, he has given message after message like that over the years, and the people have rejoiced in it.
Well, I was thinking, you even thought the very first letter that they sent, when you responded, that was going to be the end.
Yeah, well, I think I have mentioned that, but it's true. Again, I had received letters from people, men from other parts of the world, and usually, well, in every case, really, up until now, up until this letter came, I would write them back, and when I told them, you know, what we believe, that'd be the last of it. They didn't want any more of it, but it was different this time. One of the blessings of the conference at Davao City, that first conference, was expressed by Brother Felix DeLag. A man that had become very cynical, almost to the point of losing his faith. And yet, when the conference was over, his testimony was, "My eyes have been opened and my heart has been opened." And what a blessing it is to hear things like that. And so later on, he is going to be the host of another 3-day conference. That'll be the third trip over there. And he's going to host that meeting there. But anyway, going back, after the conference there on Dalles, some of the preachers from Mindanao wanted me to go back. And so in August of that same year, I made 3 trips over there, one in March, one in May, and one in August of 1999. The third trip, we had 3 of those 3-day Bible conferences. One in the northwest part of Mindanao, one on the southern tip of Mindanao, and one back at Davao City in the Toril district of Davao City. And it has just expanded from that time on. And again, never, not one time have we ever asked to go to these places to preach. It's the people, it was the pastors, the preachers that have asked us to come and to preach to them the truths that they were hearing. And that's again what has made it so much of a blessing. Several times, different ones have said to me when I'm over there, "You're different." And what they're meaning by that is that we did not go over there to make merchandise of them. That's what the experience of these men has been for the most part. Every denomination that goes into these places, and I can testify this also, Brother Johnny Carter, who goes down to the Lesser Antilles all the time, experiences the same thing. And I think it's true everywhere. Again, wherever the gospel is being preached in sincerity and in truth, Satan is going to have his men there, and they're going to be making merchandise, just like Peter talks about. They're making merchandise of men. But we didn't go over there for having any ulterior motives. We went over there simply because we love the gospel ourselves and we wanted to share it with those people. And God opened the doors, and he even is continuing to open those doors. I would love to go back over there myself. Intended very much so to do that last June, a year ago. And the COVID-19 thing kind of crept up, didn't it? And so didn't do that. But if I never get to go back over there personally, we have an established people. There's a lot of established pastors over there that know and believe these things and appreciate them, and they worship the Lord in them, and they themselves are carrying the message who knows where. So here's where we go. The testimonies of some of those men, and I wish I could remember all of their testimonies, but it would be too much for my poor little mind, I think. But again, when we were at Cagayan de Oro on that third trip, this is in the northwest part of the islands there, of the island of Mindanao, one of the men, one of the preachers that was there was a Lutheran pastor. And nearly every one of these are indigenous people. They're from the indigenous tribes. But this Lutheran pastor, and he had a companion with him, a man that was part of his church there. And that young man gave his testimony that again, at the beginning, he thought, you know, it was all a bunch of foolishness. But when it was over, he was so extremely impressed with it, and he expressed it to be so. But this Lutheran pastor, and I'll never forget him, I don't think, is I knew him as Pastor Charlie. And he said, his testimony was, he said, if I ever begin another church, I'm going to name it Sovereign Grace Lutheran Church. How about that? But that's because he was blessed with what he heard. And again, you know, who knows? There's no way possible that we can keep up with everybody that we came in contact with all the preachers that we came in contact with. There's absolutely no way that we could do that, because I'd go over there, and again, my wife can testify to this, that one of the remarkable things is that I never experienced what they call jet lag. Usually, and I really just don't know what that is, except that I hear testimony after testimony after testimony of people that fly, and they go to a place like that, and they, you know, they've got to stop and rest and catch up on their sleep, and, you know, and all of this stuff. I don't know. I've never experienced that. Because every time when I would go, almost immediately we would start having these meetings, and we preached during the day and a lot of times during part of the night, and then we would get in, rent a van, and I always have preachers going traveling with me. But we'd preach during the daytime and part of the nighttime, and then drive to a different location. And then the very next morning, we'd start all over again. And you know, there would be many. Almost in every case, there would be many. Now, sometimes there would only be a few preachers that would attend some of those meetings, but for the most part, there would be many of them. They'd come from miles around to these meetings that we would hold. And we call them Bible conferences or seminars or whatever. But actually, all they were was just preaching and answering questions. We always gave people an opportunity to ask questions, and they always did, almost always. One of the things that happened in San Fernando, a little place back in the mountains, I preached there, and after I went and sat down, and I forget who it was. I believe it was Brother Joshua, got up, and he was asking the people questions himself, and wanted to know if they had any questions, and I couldn't understand, you know, nearly anything was going on at that particular time. But Brother Adele was sitting in a chair right in front of me, and he turned around in a minute, and he said, the people are saying that they had questions, but after they heard the sermon, all their questions perished. In other words, they didn't have any questions. They weren't questioning anything. They were just listening and rejoicing in what they were hearing. So this is the ministry that God has given to us in years past. Of course, I've been accused of not believing in evangelism. And that's not the case. It's never been the case. If I didn't believe in evangelism, I sure wouldn't have gone over there to begin with. And I wouldn't be, I wouldn't have put the effort into it and put the finances into it, and I wouldn't have asked this church to do that. But again, that's the marvel of it, as far as I'm concerned, is that as small as we are, there's very few churches of any size that has reached as many people with the pure gospel message as we have been blessed to do. And God has went before, and we'll be again going through some of the experiences and going through some of the triumphs, I will say, that God has given in this ministering to the people of the Philippines. And these people love us. They love us. And they appreciate the fact that we have come to them, or gone to them, and have shared the blessings that God has given us. It's one of the disappointments to me, as far as this country is concerned, and I'm sure it is to you, that you just don't have the opportunity here to share the Word of God and the blessings of God. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. You don't have the opportunity to do it here, but we have that opportunity in this foreign nation. Now, again, you know, why did God choose the Philippines for us to minister in this way? Well, why did He choose you to salvation? Now, we know that He chose you to salvation, and He chose us to minister to these people in the Philippines, because His purpose was to glorify His name. But why didn't He use somebody else? Why did He write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, instead of this person over here next door? That's what we don't understand. We know He had a purpose in it to glorify His name, but why He chose me, why He chose you, by in which to do that, we don't know. And I don't know, will we ever know? Maybe, maybe not. It won't really matter though, will it? Because He did. And so it is all according to His eternal purpose in Christ and is being carried out today. And we've been such a blessed part of that work, and it continues even unto today. Well, I guess I'll leave off there for right now. But there's been so many, like I said, the providences of God that have entered into this, and plans. Most people are, I don't know whether they're amazed, shocked, or maybe dismayed that we've never had a plan except just to be obedient to the leading of the Lord. And that's another thing, that most so-called missionary work, that they've got to go to all the churches and line out everything and get everything in, all their ducks in order, and especially they've got to have the promise of finance before they'll ever venture out. In fact, I heard, forget where I heard it now, where it was, that someone was going to go to the mission field, but they just didn't have enough financial backing yet. They can't go because they don't have that financial backing. But I don't know that we had that financial backing either, except that God has provided it, and it has been His work. It's not my work, it's not our work, it is God's work. But it's been a wonderful experience, a wonderful journey, and I believe we all feel the same way. All right, I will ask you if you have any questions or any comments to make. We have fulfilled, not by might, not by strength, right, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You have any comments or any questions?
The only comment I really have is, I, of course, this was all new to me when I came here. And since I've learned of these men and hear these reports from you, it has really blessed me to know that we are helping a group of people who I have probably never seen,
amen,
and do not know. But I do know and confident that they really do appreciate our efforts and our giving. And it thrills me to know that. And that it's so gone.
Yeah.
It is the most worthwhile thing that a person can do, is share the gospel, to give them the word. And I think about it, especially when I hear you talk about it, about them. I just wonder, you know, who's got the books and who's reading this. And my prayer always is that they thank God for this, that they see it from God.
Right.
That we're just conduit.
Right. And they understand that Of course, they're going to express their appreciation to us, but of course, I've been careful to remind them that it's from God. We're just the ones that He chose to give it to them through, and they understand that very, very much. And but they still want to acknowledge what we're doing for them and with them, and that's really the way I approach it. We're not doing it so much for them as we're doing it with them, and that's one of the things, again, or one of the ways in which they mean we're different. We're doing it different because we're a part of them. We're not a part from them, but we're a part of them. We're a part with them. We're not over there lording it over them in any way whatsoever. And they understand that, and again, they appreciate that. One of the things that they say, one of their sayings is, with these other denominations, it says, well, no report, no support. And they coerce those people, or try to coerce them into making as many professions, are getting as many professions as they can, and baptizing. And if they don't get so many, they'll just quit supporting them in any way at all. And so it makes some of them very cynical, because they know that that's not right. And we don't do that. And what we do is just preach, and we will answer their questions. And again, many times when I'm over there after the preaching, or in between the preaching, they're asking me questions to the point that sometimes I don't even have time to eat. And that's all right. I don't mind that at all. In fact, I enjoy it. I'm blessed in it. So, JT, you're looking at something there that.
So,